A week ago, I come to the conclusion I was bothered about our Sunday evening services. And I'm not bothered because of you. I'm bothered because of me. It dawned on me that sometimes on Sunday evenings, I do what I really despise doing, and I preach because I'm supposed to. Okay? That's not good for preachers. All right? Now, I realize that's my problem, right? I like to preach, and it's not that I don't want to preach on Sunday nights. That's not it, okay? But the motivation has to be more than preach because you're supposed to preach, right? And so that began to bother me. And I met with Michael and Kelly this week, and we sat down. And I said, guys, you know, it's just what I'm doing is not good on Sunday night. It's just not right. So we talked, and we decided, number one, lose the tie, lose the suit. I said, okay, it's good. I'm good with that. And relax a little bit more. You know, sometimes from the pulpit, there's a barrier. You're standing behind that pulpit, and there's something between me and you. And on Sunday nights, I would like to change for a little while. I don't want anything. I don't want to preach at you anymore. Okay? I'm going to speak with you and share God's word with you. Okay? And so we're going to, I'm going to move down here on Sunday evening. So, if y'all want to close in, you can. If you don't, be comfortable where you are. It's all good, right? But just for future reference, this is going to be on Sunday evenings for a few weeks anyway, okay? And then we're going to look at adding a couple of other things that I'm not going to share with you right now, all right? But I would like for you to turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. I said tonight we're going to move mountains. Well, we're going to start moving mountains tonight. We're going to start. And we're going to start with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. And y'all know me, I may have trouble sitting in this stool, but it's here, and you know, and I'll use it on occasion, right? But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Let's stand in respect and honor of the Word of God. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Wade, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us this evening and for giving us the privilege to be in your house once again. We thank you for God, our pastor, who presents this message. That God, it would be your words and not his. And Father, yes, would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us. And we leave here far closer to you than how we come. We ask for your forgiveness for all the many ways in which we fail you. May your will be done tonight. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Matthew 16, is that it? I've got it written down there. No, Matthew 21:21. All right? I was close. I was in the right book. Matthew 21:21, Jesus told his disciples, if you have the faith of the grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, mountain, be removed, and it will be done. It will be moved and cast into the sea. And I've got to ask you the question, have you moved any mountains lately? Have you? If not, why not? Well, and understand, as I read that, I know Jesus is not saying, well, let's look at old Mount Nebo and say, Nebo, be cast into the sea. And it, what would be the point? There, it's deeper than that, okay? The mountains that he's talking about are things, obstacles, hindrances in our life that get in the way and prevent us from growing in the Lord. And prevent us from being all that we can be in Jesus Christ. And one of those obstacles is pride. We all have a problem with pride. If you don't think you have a problem with pride, you have a problem with pride. Okay? Proverbs 16:18 said, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we don't get the strength of that text. That word destruction literally means to fracture a bone or crush something. So when it says pride goes before destruction, it's saying, you get on the train of pride, you're going to break something. An arm. Haughty spirit before a fall is also interesting. It means to be cast down from a high place. We'd put it in language like this. It's like jumping off a cliff. So either way, this problem of pride is not good. You're going to wind up breaking something. You're going to wind up doing damage that cannot be undone. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, Jesus said, God said that there are six things that God hates. Seven is an abomination to Him. And you know what's number one on that list? Pride. Pride. And I got to thinking about pride. And when I'm talking about pride, I want you to understand, I'm not talking about I'm proud of my kids, like we use that term, or I'm proud of our church family. That's not what we're talking about. The pride that we're talking about is a pride that's rooted in self-centeredness. A pride that is just all about me, and I want my way, and I don't like that, and I don't care who it hurts along the way. Pride that says, I'm number one. And that's why Peter addresses it in 1 Peter chapter 5. And he begins with young people. Now, I want to get all the eyes. I want to catch all the eyes of our young people, right? If you're a young person, I want your eyes right here, on me. He said, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Arrange yourself under their authority. Our kids think today that mom and dad is boss, and you are boss, mom and dad, right? Okay. But there's more to it than that. And I want you to understand the cycle that happens. All right? See, the cycle that happens is that it starts at a very young age. You don't have to teach pride to a child. Somewhere around 6 months, 8 months, the child, a light comes on in a child that says, I don't want to do what you're trying to get me to do. You know what I'm talking about? And not long after that, another light comes on, and it's like a beam that illuminates their whole mind as they say, I don't want to do this, and I'm not going to do this. Right? Don't you love, and by the time they get into what we call the terrible twos, they'll look at you with a smile on their face while they're denying your authority. It comes natural. Why do they do that? It's a pride thing. I want my way. I will do it my way. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. But the problem with that is, when they're two, we kind of say it's cute and it's our, we kind of laugh about it. But if it goes unchecked, I want to tell you what it turns into. They turn into elementary age school children who their mom and dad try to teach right and wrong, but when they go to school, they have a mind of their own. And they do what they want to do. And defy the authority of the teacher. Then they grow up to be teenagers and they decide there's all this cool stuff out there, like drugs. And mom and daddy tell me don't do drugs, but they're just trying to keep me from having fun. And there's alcohol, and we can go to parties and get drunk and have a great, wonderful time, and mom and daddy are just trying to be a downer. So they say, I will do what I want to do. You see the pride there? And they do. But, and look at me here, I want you to know when you do that as a young person, you're going to break something. Okay? Remember our opening text? pride goes before destruction, it's going to be a broke arm, a broke leg, spiritually speaking. Or you're going to fling yourself off the cliff of pride and do damage that can't be undone. That's why we have kids that fry their mind and they can't get it back. That's why we have young ladies who... teenage pregnancy. Now listen, I'm not condemning, all right? But if we would just exercise common sense and realize, hey, this pride thing is leading me down a road I don't want to go down, then you could say, well, maybe mom and dad know what they're talking about. And mom and dad, you do know what you're talking about, right? Come on, give me an amen. Amen. Come on, there we go. But you know what? It doesn't stop with our kids. It doesn't stop with our kids. As we grow up, you know what? We get the attitude of, hey, I'm an adult. I'll do what I want to do. One of the things that drives me nuts is to watch on the news story as some person, some adult, is approached by a police officer and they say, I know my rights. You're a dummy. The guy's got a gun. Your rights ended when he got out of the car. You know, it's pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, we get to thinking that the world evolves around me. You know where the first sin came from? Where'd it come from? Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Do you know what led to that first sin? Pride. Satan approaches them and said, has God said you're not supposed to eat out of all of the trees of the garden? And they said, oh, we can eat out everything except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or we'll die. Satan says, oh, you won't die. God just knows that if you eat of this tree, you'll be like God. And when they said that, they were filled. God's trying to keep me from my happiness, from my joy. And so they sinned. You see, they got to thinking life evolved around them. And we're the same way, are we not? One thing that's more irritating as an adult is when you realize that people or life is not evolving around you. Whether it be in church, people think that in churches, you know. In church, I've heard, not here, and that's why I can use that example here, because I hopefully won't hear it. But I've heard people tell pastors and church staff, well, I pay your salary. You're supposed to do what I say. And then you wind up having two people filled with pride. This old prideful preacher saying, well, that ain't going to happen. And you look expecting for the church to evolve around you. You know, almost every sin, almost every problem in life can be described with that word of pride. Have you ever heard anybody say in church, well, I was gone for a month and nobody called me. You know what that is? That's pride. You say, how, Brother Doug? Well, first of all, you were the one that was wrong in forsaking the assembling of your church. Okay? You are at fault. Don't try to blame your sin upon the church. And so when you back up and say, well, nobody called me. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't call people that miss. Yeah, let's do call them, certainly. However, we get that concept of, if I miss, I'm supposed to be called and catered to. It's pride. And then when it doesn't happen, we say, well, I'm not going to go back. You ever heard that? They don't care about me. I'm not going to go back. And then you get really hurt because you discover that the church can live without you. Isn't that the way it goes? He said, well, I used to go there, but I missed and nobody called me. And you just kind of expect that the church just falls apart. And it's not, you know, I learned a long time ago, I need the church. The church doesn't need me. You know? It's all pride. And it's going to lead to something being broken. Did you know legalism is a pride thing? It is. I was raised in a very legalistic environment. And I still fight it today, I'll be honest with you. I have to sit down and back up and say, you know, is this thus saith the Lord or thus saith the ABA traditions from 500 years ago? You know, I have to work on that. And so, but I was being raised in that legalistic environment. There was this environment where you look down on people. We don't drink. We don't smoke. And we don't cuss. We don't do those things that those evil people everywhere else do. We're better than they are. We're above that. Has anybody ever kind of been there? I have. And so, to be honest with you, as I began my ministry, I didn't get preaching the truth in love, as Brother Dale said a while ago. I was preaching the truth and shooting the arrows to knock them to the ground, you know? But what you discover in legalism, that as you look down at other people, somewhere along the way, you slip and you fall. And you commit a sin that you shouldn't commit. You know you shouldn't commit it. And you know you're wrong for doing it. And then after that, you realize, oh, I'm so miserably horrible. I don't deserve to live. I don't deserve to be in church. And I've seen people, you know, that were every Sunday Christian, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they were just so dedicated, so very dedicated. And they have this scandal in their lives. And they never go back to church anymore. Do you know why? Pride. That's why I think it was Paul that said, if any be caught up in a sin, restore such a one a spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. You see, pride breaks things. It'll do damage that cannot be undone. That's why he said, look, it's something, it's a mountain. It's a mountain that we've got to address. And if we think we don't have it, well, we better back up. That's why he said in the end of verse 5, be clothed with humility. And literally, do you realize that's put on humility? Take off like a coat or like a shirt. Take off the pride and put on humility. Now, that word humility literally means to arrange under. I'm not supposed to be number one. It's not all, life is not all about me. I said, Brother Doug, why should I live in this humble attitude? I'll tell you why. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here's the deal. Your relationship with God cannot be right if you're filled with pride. Okay? You can't. Why? Because God resists the proud. What is that? That word resist is an interesting word. It means literally to rage and battle against. Now, here's the thing. We don't think of God being against us, but right here it says, God resists or He rages in battle against the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. So let me ask you this. Do we want God on our side? Or do we want Him against us? You see how important, how big this mountain is? This mountain we call pride? Our relationship with God depends upon us. And that's why he said in verse 6, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. That didn't say for you to humble me or me to humble you or Ken to humble Michael. It says humble yourselves. It's something you're supposed to do. You know? And do you know why? Because it's much easier when you do it. It's much easier when you do it. That word humble here, as it's used there in that instance, here it literally means to level a mountain. To level off a mountain. Make it flat. And that's what he's talking about. Get the mountain out of the way. Because as long as you're filled with pride, things are not going to be right with God. Let me ask you, husbands and wife, why do we fight? Do we ever fuss? Oh, not much, but I mean, if you're married, we fuss. Amen? Why do we fuss? Pride. She didn't do what I thought she should have done. Be a whole lot easier just to put on humility. Babe, I love you. It don't matter what you have or haven't done that I liked or didn't like. You see? Churches. What's wrong with churches today? You know, what causes fractures and explosions in churches today? Pride? Well, I don't like that. I don't like that music. I don't like that preacher. I don't like that, you know, I don't like casual Sunday nights. Why? Because you're proud. You see, Peter, he told us to humble ourselves. And I want you to understand who this is coming from. This is coming from a man who was plagued with pride. This is the man that Peter, when Jesus was talking about, I'm going to be crucified. Remember what Peter said? Oh, no, you're not. I'll never allow that to. I'll die for you. No, sir. Remember what Jesus told him? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. A little later when Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Remember what Peter said? Nuh-uh. Ain't going to happen. That's in Southern language, right? Not going to happen. I'll die for you. The rest of these guys may forsake you, but I never will. That was pride talking. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Why? The pride. And beloved, God let it happen because Peter didn't humble himself. Oh, I can imagine the pain and the sorrow when Peter, when it all came down on Peter, and that third time when he was asked, you're one of these guys with this Jesus fella, and Peter said, no, I am not. And the Bible says he cursed. And at that time the rooster crowed and his eyes met Jesus. Jesus looked at him, Peter looked back, and he knew, man, I blew it. I've blown it. He went out and wept bitterly, the Bible says. You know why all that went down like it did? Because Peter had a pride problem. That's why he can write so personally about it here. When he says, look guys, it's a lot easier if you take care of it yourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Quit living like you're the center of attention. Lay aside the pride. Somebody does something you don't like, smile at them and say, I love you anyway. Somebody offends me, and I'm not talking about in church, I'm talking about in life. Somebody offends me, they pull me, they cut me off driving. Instead of having road rage, roll down your window and say, hi, God loves you. Christian road love, I guess we could call it, you know. But look how important it is. Look how important. Humble yourselves. Get rid of the pride. Dismiss the me, me, me. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Here's the good part. That He may You see, the construction of this is such that He can't exalt you until you take care of the pride. Why? Because that's the mountain in the way. That keeps you from growing as a child of God. That keeps you from loving as a child of God, from being an example, as you said, as a child of God. That's the mountain. That's why I say, tonight we're going to start moving mountains. We're going to have more mountains 2 weeks in 2 weeks. All right? But let's get serious with one another. I carried this out here. I got to set in it for a minute. Let's get serious. Can God exalt you? Can He lift you up and work His plan in your life as He wants to? Or do you have a mountain of pride? I'll be honest with you. Before I shared this lesson with you, guess what? I had to share it with me about 40 times. And I'm still working on it. But one thing I know, God can't work in me until I'm humble. Until I humble myself before Him. Submitting to His authority. Dismissing, I want this and I want that. And saying, God, not my will, Thine be done. See, that was the example of our Savior Jesus Christ. Not my will. Lord, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, Thine be done. I believe pride to be one of the most destructive things in the lives of Christians today. One of the greatest mountains that we allow to hinder our relationship with God. What do you do? What do you do about it? Brother Doug, I do. Pride has gotten in the way. What do you do about it? First of all, you confess it. We're told in the Word of God that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How do we do that? Very easy. Prayer. Okay? This altar's open. Tell God, God, my pride has gotten in Your way. Lord, I want to confess it's wrong. And I want to agree with You. And the second thing is repent. Brother Jerry this morning mentioned repentance, something that's quickly leaving our churches. You know, we want the attitude of God loves everything and everybody. Well, I want to tell you, He doesn't. Okay? He loves sinners who confess and sinners who repent, which means to turn from. Turn around. Go a different direction. And then finally, spend a lot of time praying. Because I want to tell you, the issue of pride, it'll sneak up on you. You can take care of it. You get on your knees and you can pray tonight, Lord, forgive me. And then tomorrow, old Satan will blindside you. It takes a lot of prayer. You may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you the greatest love story, the greatest example of humility ever given, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who went to Calvary. Who prayed, not my will, but Thine be done. He went to Calvary, suffered the agony of crucifixion, because that was His Father's will. And He did it because He loves you. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? He's offered the invitation of a better life. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, if what you're doing is not working, it's time to change something, right? Will you submit to Jesus for salvation? Oh, Brother Doug, I don't want to walk down this aisle. Everybody will see me. There's that old pride. Oh, Brother Doug, I don't want to go to that altar. Everybody, people will see me and think I've done something. I've got news for you. We know you've done something. We all have. Right? That's nothing new. You don't pretend that you're Mr. Holy. No. You know? Whatever you need, let God. Let go and let God. Okay? Whatever you're supposed to do, whatever He convicts you, whatever He leads you to do, you just let Jesus, from this moment forward, take control. Present yourself to Him. If He wants you to spend time at the altar, come on. If He wants you to give a testimony, you come. Share it with me and I'll give you a chance to share it with the church. If He leads you, lay aside the pride. Say yes, Jesus. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we prepare for this invitation, we just thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we're reminded tonight of what a hindrance pride is. Lord, it plagues our life. It plagues our churches. It plagues our homes. It plagues our relationship with You. And so, Lord, tonight, we want to humble ourselves. We want to move the mountain of pride out of the way so that You can exalt us, so that You can lead us, so that You can have preeminence in our life. Lord, we pray that as we come to this invitation, that we'd all lay aside the pride, and that You, Lord Jesus, will be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray.